Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the first EBC voting meeting. A couple of rules that we have to abide by. When we do amendments, it is a majority of the people in the room that makes it move to the tentative budget. For the budget to pass, in the final analysis, you need a majority. You need eight people to pass the budget at any point down the road. But as we're doing amendments, if we have a majority of the people in the room who support it, then it moves forward as far as the tentative budget goes. There have been some discussion about the county administrator put together some of these things, in categories, and I may attempt to do one of the categories, most especially the CGR category, and I think Kevin is going to try to put that up on the screen at some point. So as we're looking at, there are eight different resos about the CGR study, and we may be able to do those in one fell swoop with a couple of minor changes. But let us, right now, we're going to go with the format that first come, first serve, people who got their amended items in or their amendments in, that we order them chronologically. But before all of that, the county administrator wants to talk about the capital program, which he's done at least three times already, but he's willing to do it one more time. So, Joe, you're on.
Thanks, Jim. And I'll be as efficient with your time as I can be. But we do want to give you an overview of the capital program that's detailed in the budget. I think you'll find everything you want as a part of that document. But just some of the high points of the capital plan. This is a five-year plan. It runs from 2018 through 2022. The total amount that the plan proposes to invest over that period of time is a little over $36 million. But a great deal of that comes from our enterprise funds, particularly the airport. For those of you who aren't aware of enterprise funds, those of you who may be watching, those are self-sufficient funds. The airports, what used to be solid waste, is now recycling and materials management. No property tax dollars are involved in those. So over half of what we're talking about here comes in the form of enterprise funds. The other $17.6 million is supported by the general fund, and of that, about $17 million is paid with local dollars, which means property taxes and sales taxes. Just going really quickly through the projects that are supported in this, many of them you've seen often before, and I won't spend much time on those. I'll try to highlight the newer things. You've seen, I believe, all of the items that are in the facilities list. I included the Center for History and Culture, not because it's a part of a plan to be approved by you, you've already done that, but because it will be an active project next year, and so I thought we should be showing that in our presentation. The parking lot at the Department of Health, we've talked for a long time about a bus stop there. We're in a test period right now. Whether the bus stop goes forward or not, the parking lot needs to be redone at the health department. So this item will be required whether or not we get bus service on a continuing basis or not. In highway, almost $11 million worth of projects. I tried to highlight, and the red really doesn't come out well on the screen, but highlight in red the things that are new. One is the Cortlandt Street Bridge, which is in Groton. The second is the improvement of the public works facility, the highway shop, and I'll give you a few of the details about what's involved in that in just a minute. So mostly projects that you've seen before, the large road and bridge improvement. That's the annual debt-supported improvement of roads and bridges that, for the most part of this plan, is going to be $1.8 million a year. In IT, these are both new projects. One is to upgrade our HR payroll system to make it cloud-based. That will eliminate a lot of the burden that is experienced in our own IT department and shift it really to the vendor and in the cloud. We think it will be a much more easy to update and operate system. The second is a major server replacement program. These are remarkable machines, but they have a relatively short useful life. And again, I'll give you a couple of the details in just a second on that. Planning has a couple of projects that we've been doing now for a few years. Natural infrastructure is $200,000 in cash every year. And planning has been to see you a few times now to talk about some of the interesting projects that have been funded with that money. We think it's kind of a pioneering capital initiative, and it's well worth the investment. The second is an aquifer study that's also funded with cash every year, and it's been a longstanding, ongoing project. At the airport, you can see in red the things that are new. It's time for a master plan at the airport. At about $150,000, an obstruction removal project, which is what the name would suggest. Several vehicles, crash rescue and snow removal vehicles. You know that these are each very expensive pieces of equipment. And the parking lot expansion, which has been on the plan for some time and awaits really the demand for that. And some other projects that have also been on the plan for some time. The largest of which, the improvements of the parallel taxiway, but also that important improvement of the terminal building, which we continue to hope will attract some state support. Altogether, the airport is planning to spend $17.5 million, none of which is property tax supported over that five-year period. Solid Waste has a facility upgrade project that's spread over the course of the plan. That facility, believe it or not, is beginning to show its age, and it's time for some improvements to that. Quickly on those new projects, the Cortlandt Street Bridge, again, it's in Groton. It's $1.6 million. It's all local dollars. It would be designed in 2020 and built in 2021. It is currently a two-lane bridge. That question always comes up. Is it one or two? It's a two-lane bridge. The replacement will include adding sidewalks to that. The Public Works Building, the highway shop improvements, a little less than $500,000 for that would occur in 2020. A number of repairs would occur as a part of this, roof, the walls, and the new addition would be a truck wash. It would be a part of that building, and the highway folks believe it will add to the useful life and marketability of their vehicles. In IT, again, I talked about the server replacement program, $250,000. It replaces 12 servers. They're approaching that magic 5 to 7 year mark where it's time to replace them. And just by way of background, this is a much different environment than we had in the past. These few servers replace 40 different servers that we had in a number of locations before. When you hear Greg talk about virtual servers, this is what he's talking about. The other item in IT, $200,000 for the upgrade of the HR payroll system. Again, it converts from a county-hosted operation to a vendor-hosted operation. It does relieve our staff of a number of burdens and, therefore, county costs in the future. New projects at the airport, a lot of them are in the way of equipment. You can see what the items are here. Again, none cheap, but all critical to the operation of the airport, several of them involved in snow removal. The master plan is a 2021 project. The obstruction removal is spread over the course of 3 years, and it will total $720 over the course of that three-year period. I'll emphasize again, none of that is property tax supported. And at recycling materials management, the facility expense, $1.1 million in total. $756 is supported by the operation, the enterprise. The balance of it will come from state grants. And like several of the others, this occurs over a period of several years. So when you add everything up, the general fund, you can see how the dollars are spread, relatively front-loaded in 2018. But over the course of that five-year period, you can see where the money is spent. That adds up to $17.5 million. The enterprise fund, even more front-loaded. The big number there is that terminal improvement that we still want to make happen in 2018. If the money doesn't come, that will slide backward until we are able to attract the money. And there's the total cash flow of these projects over the five-year period. Just to give you a sense of how things stack up, when you look at the new projects that are in this plan, this is what they would cost, and it's either cash or debt service on those projects. You can see that it peaks at about $1.85 million in 2023 as debt ramps up for those projects. And then when you add that to the existing debt service and cash expenses that we bear, that's what the county's capital expenditures look like over the course of the next 10 years. The capital levy, as you know, grows by a policy. Policy says that we will increase the levy by a half a point annually and earmark that increase for capital. That means that in 2018, there's an extra $240,000 in for capital. It supports a $6.13 million capital budget. Most of that goes to pay debt service. Some of it, not much, but some of it is a cash allocation to support some pay-as-you-go things like the aquifer study and the natural infrastructure projects. When you add all those things together, this is what the projection of our capital levy looks like as we add a half a percent to our levy each year to support capital. This is the expected cost annually of the projects supported by that capital budget. So you can see that there's a bit of a gap between those two lines. And as we've said before, that gap gives us the capacity to bring on additional projects and still stay within that that levy line, or even start to pay cash at a certain point in time for some of the projects, like the road and bridge projects that have become ongoing. So it's good to have that separation. So that's the fast-track capital program for the next five.
Any questions for Joe? Mike?
I was just wondering again, this probably came up.
Please use the microphone, okay?
This probably came up. Why is the Cortland Street Bridge 100% us again?
There is no state or federal aid that supports that project. A lot of bridges like that you're going to find are all locally supported. There's just not that much federal and state aid anymore for those kinds of projects.
Okay.
Anyone else? Carol.
So, refresh my memory on the half a percent per year that we're increasing the allotment to the capital budget over 20 years, which is a total of, what, 15% over that time? Is that right?
But, over 10.
Well, it's compounded, so
right.
Whatever it is. It's big. Did we say at the time that we could increase it half a percent, up to that half a percent per year, or that we definitely would? So in a year where we have other target items that we want to spend money on, are we free to decide to do that instead?
So the policy is more of a would than a can. At the same time, I do recall a year when we had hit tough times back in the recession era, where we did take a one-year pause in that. So we didn't raise it by half a point at least one of those years. So, I mean, it's a policy, and the legislature can always choose to depart from its own policy.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Martha?
So if we... You said something about paying cash. What would that mean if we, and you said that is a $240,000 increase in 2018 is the half a percent levy increase. If we instead took $240,000 out of reserves and paid that amount in cash for certain projects and then didn't borrow for them, what would that mean? What would that do?
It would lower slightly the debt service costs that we expect. So if we were to borrow $240,000, that's about $14,000 or $15,000 a year in debt service, or so for a 20-year issue. So that's about what you would save, $14,000 or $15,000 a year if you were to do that. Martha, the other way of looking at it is it would reduce some of that separation between the expected levy and currently anticipated costs. So you would just have, you know, less of a spread there. which would mean in the future you would have less capacity under that level to be able to build, for example, a new police headquarters or something like that without pulling money out of the bank to support that future project.
But if we're paying for those projects that we would otherwise borrow for, we're still taking care of the need. So,
so I guess the way I would look at
both sides of the equation,
I'm not advocating this at all because I think the policy has worked well for us, and I do think it allows us to look at things like what we may need to do with the public safety building, and think that we can pay for that within that capital levy that we have. So I think that policy has worked well for us. But if the legislature chose to reduce that $240,000 this year and then pick it up again next year, it just means that the separation that I've shown there, the upper line is what we expect to raise through the capital levy. The lower line is what we expect to spend with the current slate of projects right now. So the gap between those two things would come down a bit. That's what it would mean.
Rich.
Can you go back another slide to your bar graph? Yes, thank you. Your numbers past 2022, those are just estimates, I assume, since the capital program hasn't been set yet.
That's right. Okay. It's based on estimated debt service for the new stuff. So the existing is based on known debt service, so that's been incurred. So we have a schedule of that. The new is an estimate based on what we think the interest rates are going to be, how long we will go out in the market. So that's an estimate.
A lot of variables.
Yep.
Mike. I'm sorry, Rich, are you done?
I'm done.
Mike.
I hope that we don't change our policy on the adding of 0.5% on the levy. Back in, 2010, maybe 2011, we had a year-long committee, Capital Plan Review Committee. Martha, I think, chaired it at one point. I think I chaired it later, that really looked heavily into our capital program and how we are spending and came up with this scheme that has really worked well. It's kind of, if you think of budgeting as like the when you have in your home and you put a few dollars in this envelope and a few dollars in that envelope to have money available. This helps us do that. And Joe, you talked about that space and that capacity. And why that's important, in my view, is because we get things we don't expect. I mean, we know we've been talking about doing something with jail program space. But there may be a road that falls apart that we really need to fix, or a bridge that gets closed down on us because of structural problems. There may be a need to do other kinds of projects, whether the airport or solid waste or the mental health building. I remember one year when the HVAC units at one of our buildings, I can't remember, I think it was the human services building, froze up, and we had to go into capital to replace that. So I just hope that we can hold to the schedule that we've planned.
Martha and Anna.
So Mike sort of asked, so these bars don't include anything for the jail, for the space, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Anna?
I'm just curious, do we have an estimate of a list of things that we have on deferred maintenance that we sort of put off on priority list, and an estimate of what that currently is?
We don't have a tally like that, Anna, but what we do have in the capital plan is a commitment to spend about $800,000 in most years to address those kinds of deferred maintenance issues. And I'm stammering a little bit because the way it's structured is we spend for a certain period of time, and then we take a two-year timeout, kind of catch-up period, and then we go at it again. And so the amount that we've been investing annually for the past 4 or 5 years has been about $800,000 to do just that, to catch up on deferred maintenance needs.
The reason I bring it up is because I'm wondering how much this capital investment continuously helps us. I mean, the minute you build a building, it's a ticking time bomb. So anything that we own property is invariably something that we need to maintain, which means that that's always going to be there regardless of additional capital in construction that we want to put in place. So I'm wondering how much of this goes to that $800,000 fits into this equation. And where we stand, I'm assuming because we do this, this is not a norm. I would imagine that we're sort of ahead of the game because we're thinking in this way compared to a lot of counties, at least from what I'm hearing.
We've done a lot of catch-up. We've done pretty good at catch-up. Your point is well taken. There's always something else. There's always a roof. There's always a parking lot, it seems. So I think when we first started this, we hoped that there would be an end to it after a reasonably short period of time. And we haven't found that, so we've included it in the plan in the long haul.
Carol, if you had your hand up.
Yeah, I did. I'm not sure if it got answered or not. So as I recall, there used to be like two lines in here. There was there's the road and bridge catch-up plan, which you had on a much earlier slide, and then there was another building and road line for deferred maintenance. So are there still two lines in the budget or even three where this shows up?
So if you go into the capital part of the budget, you'll be able to see that.
The construction pre, page 12.
Rick, please use your microphone.
3-12.
Rick, please use your microphone. You're going to be on.
I'm sorry, it's section 3, page 12.
So some time ago to catch up, we began a road and bridge, a debt-supported road and bridge improvement program. And for the first 5 years, the investment was $1.2 million. It then bumps, and it occurs during the course of this five-year plan, to $1.8 million. And then 5 years later, it peaks at $2.4 million. So that's what's in the long-term capital plan, and that's the plan that we've followed. So, Carol, to your question about the road and bridge line, that's the one. For facilities, you'll see it on the same page. And you can see where those dollars are spent. You've got spending in the first. No, spending resumes in 2021 and 2022 for the facilities restoration projects.
Are we done?
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Or you could not fund this and reduce the levy by 0.5%. Just saying.
No, I'm not looking to do that.
No, I'm not talking to you either.
Okay.
So I just
wanted to know if there was a way to look.
Let me.
So that's kind of where I was trying to go. So if we...
We're not going to do that now, okay?
Right.
Okay. Let me do this, please. Okay. Thank you. Take a look at your expanded budget committee proposed amendments. I'm going to try something a little bit different, and we'll see how it works out. The first item is my own and Mike Ziegler. It is adding $300,000 one time to jail board outs. The second one is the additional district attorney on the sheet that Kevin handed you out. So what I want to try to do is I want to do the first two, and then we will go to the CGR category, if everyone has that, which includes a CJ coordinator, a SIM mapping consultant, two ADAs, Expand Mental Health, Endeavor, College Initiative, senior probation officer, and cost of an additional jail nurse. Four of those are one time and the rest are target. But at this point, I would like to move my amendment adding $300,000 one time to for jail board outs. And Mike is second. Questions, comments, discussion? Let me just say, from my point of view, this was the first thing that came to my mind when we started these, and my sense is that the CGR portion of this budget is probably one of the more important sections that we're going to be doing in quite a while, given the fact that we've learned a lot from the CGR program. The jail study committee has worked on this. But if you implemented every program we had right now, you would still need money for boarding out, because in 90 days, you're going from 92 to 66 in terms of what you're allowed to keep in the current jails we're looking at it. So to not put money aside would be not a good idea from my point of view. There's already a couple of $100,000 in the budget the way it's prepped, and hopefully this will pass and we can put this in there. Kevin.
Jim, I just wanted to clarify. The brief description included the phrase year one of three. And in the printouts you have, it's still under durations / source. It still says one time. I changed that to multi-year just before we got started.
Well, okay.
It's
Anna.
My first question is that 100 for each year for 3 years?
No, it's $300,000.
Each year for 3 years.
Each year for 3 years.
And how did you come up with the $300,000 for the first year, given that?
Frankly, in a conversation with the county administrator, if you took 18 that you potential numbers and then start multiplying the cost per day, it was actually added up to $525,000.
Exactly.
Joe?
Yeah, just here's how that number came to be. We looked at the two-year average of jail population. So this year, the past year has been very low. We looked at the last two-year average, and on average, we've been housing about 80 inmates every month. Then we looked at the capacity of the jail once those 18 beds are gone. So we're left with 82 beds, but remember, we can only fill about 80% of those. So call that 65 or 66 that are practically available. So we have a shortfall of, on average, 15 beds. 15 individuals. So we took the cost of those 15 and then we subtracted out. There's some money in the budget already. If you look at the sheriff's budget, you'll find there's $141,000 already in there for board outs. So the gap was around $300,000.
Thank you.
Martha.
So it says department or agency, it says jail. So does that go in the jail budget, not contingency?
It could go in either.
Yeah.
Okay, and just as I'm looking at the pages here, I'm looking on the bottom of the last page where we've got total impact on reserves and total impact on contingent. And I notice, so I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but just so I understand how these sheets work. I understand, for example, the criminal justice position, that's the second line on the last page, that's number 39. That's $107,000. That same number shows up on page two because somebody else put it in. Where is it? Somebody
27.
It shows up more than once because somebody else put it in as 3 year. So I guess I'm just cautioning folks, if you're tracking, as I'm going to try to track, what's our total score sheet on reserves and tax levy, these totals aren't exactly right?
Kevin.
We've always had that issue with duplication,
right,
when there's one in it.
Right.
Targeting. It strikes me that I should probably provide, in answering your question additionally, there's some new stuff going on with the spreadsheet this year just because of the way things are set up. And with Jim's permission, I would elaborate just briefly about
sure,
that.
Sure, go ahead.
First, part of what you pointed out, Martha, is that there are things early in the agenda that have a counterpart, a different configuration later. At the time I printed the sheets, that was the state of things. I hurriedly sat down and resequenced things so that if things in general appear in the order in which they were submitted, but if there's another amendment for the same OTR that's different, those have been elevated to join their partner further up in the list.
In the list we're looking at?
Not in the list you're looking at. In the list you'll see on screen.
And the list that I suppose next time we'll get a new printout, but you don't want to reprint the whole thing with every time you change it or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So the other thing that's new, if you don't mind, is the target. There's a new category of target OTR. There's a target from contingent.
Okay.
And if you'll turn your attention to the screen, it's reflected in this blue area of the screen up here. This is set up to show that target amendments that draw down that $1.3 million OTR that's parked there, they will continue to draw that down. You'll see this number won't move. That's the original balance. Can everybody see the cursor up there?
Does that have to be dark blue?
Those colors are weird. It's
highlighted.
Can you make
a lighter
blue?
Now it's worse.
Thank you.
Well, my neck already hurts trying to see this thing.
That's better.
I like the
oh, there
right.
it is.
Much better.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wanted to be able to say the blue area, and at that, it's blue on my screen. But this number will show the drawing down of that. So let me give you an example. Let's say that let's look at amendment number two. If I show that that's approved, you instantly see the drawdown up here, drawing down this contingent fund, leaving us with the new balance. At the point where we cross over, if you should, this is not a recommendation, if you should cross over the $1.3 million, that will start to be reflected in this red number here, and it will add to the levy amount.
Okay, I'm not following your cursor anymore. Where did it go? Okay.
So this levy amount will start to increase once this...
Got it.
Yeah.
Kevin, first thing, it's important that you tell us what you know when you do these things, and you don't have to ask my permission or anybody else around the table. It's important that you tell us what you know. And I just want everyone to remember this budget was built on a 2.4 levy and a 1.3 mil in the contingent fund, and that's the money we're talking about there. Any other comments or questions about the $300K that I'm moving? I moved. Leslie.
So, Martha, ask my question. So is there a benefit to put it in contingency versus to jail budget? Because I'd like to propose that it goes to contingency, unless you see something different. So my proposal is that it goes into contingency for the purposes of covering potential board out costs.
Any other comments about that? Questions? All in favor of moving it to contingency $300K? Please raise your hand.
Wait, is it still multi-year then?
Yeah. That's the
yes, it would be.
Yes,
okay.
That doesn't change.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I guess we got everybody, right? 13. 13 in favor and... It's in there.
I'd like that trend to continue, Mr. Chair, so that everything I propose, everyone vote for.
Yeah, right. I can go with that. Anna.
Only if I second it.
Boom.
So can you describe briefly your logic for 3 years instead of 2 years or 1 year for this?
Mine?
Yours?
I think that... you know, all of you know who you've watched ATI programs for a number of years. You're not going to solve the problem in 1 year. You're not going to solve the problem in 2 years. It takes an amount of time to implement the kind of things that you're trying to do. And, you know, the numbers may show up more positive, but what I'm allowing is I'm hedging against things, you know, working along. This is government after all, and blah, blah, blah. You know, you need some money in the bank.
The reason I was asking specifically is because we are going to be implementing ATIs as we go, and that number of board outs will hopefully decrease over time, which would mean we would need less. But
well,
of course,
okay, and
if
the other part is,
Anna,
if you have the money
exactly.
and you don't spend it, it goes into fund balance. So,
exactly.
you know, it's like money from home. Someone had their hand up here. Dan.
So even more, Joe or somebody else, can you make sure that we all understand this correctly? Multi-year expenditures still have to be approved every year.
That's the way we've been handling these. We bring them back every year just to make sure you still want to commit to it.
And the example is, what is it, the navigators that we've done
yeah.
in the past. You know, it comes up every year and it goes up. It's a yes or no vote. So at any rate, and the other one I would like to do is vote on the – this is the part I always forget. All in favor of the new amendment, right? Please raise your hand. I'm going to count you as a yes, Will.
Sorry, what?
It's the new amendment. It's Leslie.
We're voting on it to continue.
All in favor? Opposed? Pending. Thank you. 13 zip. The second item is the DA. Myself and others put it in for one. Someone want to move that? And then we'll go back to CGR. Leslin moves. There are second. Dave, second. Discussion. Leslin, you were one of the people that moved that. Do you want to talk about it?
Not at all.
Okay.
It seems...
whoever the seconder is, do they want to talk?
We need to do it.
The
DA asked for two. We're doing one because it seems like it's reasonable what we can afford here. Seeing the increased number of cases and especially the type of cases that are coming through the DA's office and their involvement with a lot of the restorative justice efforts and our ATI efforts, we think it's only wise for us to do this.
Mike and then Carol.
Yeah, I'll be quick. I thought Matt made a pretty good argument for two and one seemed to be a good place to start, and he may need another one coming up. I mean, I frankly don't think our district attorney should be handling a lot of town courts. He's got big cases in front of him. He's elected to handle those big cases, and that's where I think his energy should be spent. So I think this ADA would free him up from doing some of those other jobs.
Carol.
Yeah, at this point in the process, I certainly agree with putting one in. Do I understand the process correctly? That should we later in our voting meetings feel, or as it comes to the legislature, should we feel that there's enough room to put a second one, we can still do it.
Sure.
It's doing one now does not preclude us from doing a second one later.
Doing anything
personally,
now
I'm in favor of one.
Doing anything
but,
later. Okay. Anything else for this? All in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? Glenn, I have you as a yes? Okay. It's 13 zip. Right?
He's sitting next to me.
Now, let's see if we can go back to the CGR category. We took the ADA. That's out. And does everyone have the sheet? Or, Kevin, have you figured that one out so we can put it up there? Yeah.
I have, Jim. The only complication really is that we've got some places where they're doubled.
Okay.
There's a target and a one-time, that kind of thing. So you'll see it's not as clean as just the whole batch.
All right.
I can drop the modifications and give you a clean shot at just the original set of Joe's recommendations.
Does that work for people?
Yes.
Well, because then how do we see what's being proposed?
Or we can go one at a time.
Well, it's right here on our paper, right?
Not everyone has it.
Let's do them one at a time.
An easy way to find them is to look under the OTR number The OTR number, not the amendment number. That's just in order. The OTR number. So this is the next one is 18 criminal justice coordinators. So I find that the fourth line on page 3.
It's number 27.
And number 39 are two flavors of the same thing.
Okay. All right, if we want to do it that way, we can do it that way.
There's about seven of them, correct?
You want to say, Martha, 23 and 39?
Yeah. Dan?
27 and 39.
27 and 39. Thank you, my dear.
Yes, there are seven. The ADA is done, and four of them are one time, the rest are target. So... criminal justice coordinator. Want to move it, Martha?
I would move it, and my tweak on it is on page 3. It's number 27, along with Dooley and Mike Sigler, that it be a 3-year commitment, still one-time money, the same amount, but multi-year, instead of 1.5 years.
Is there a second to that? Dooley.
Can you just repeat it?
Dan.
1.5 years was the CGR recommendation, I believe.
Yes.
18 months.
I feel that's really inadequate. There were a couple places in which I think they undershot what's really going to be needed. In particular, a 3-year, somebody of the caliber that we really need, the skills, variety of skills and talents, et cetera, you really need a commitment of 3 years to bring, to recruit somebody. And also, frankly, to see results. It's going to take a chunk of time. And if you only give the person a year and a half, I think it's unrealistic, really. So.
Anna.
I am very much in support of this, and thank you guys for bringing this forward. The reason I want to second what Martha's saying, just expand on it, is that we have a lot of different moving parts, a lot of different ATIs, and they're compatible and could overlap. We don't need them to overlap. We don't want them to overlap. We want to be as efficient as possible. I think that's going to be really difficult. Also, the mapping project that we want to do could be done through this person. There are a lot of things that could be part of this that could ultimately end up saving money, I think, if we do it. I think it might end up being one of the cheaper routes we could go. So I think that's more why, if I'm thinking long term, it might be the most efficient economically, because of the cost of this person and because of the different things that they could pull together. And the one thing that I would not like to see us do is to have what we had in the past, where we had two reentry programs that were coexisting with tremendous amounts of overlap. And if this person could help us not do that, it might save us. So,
anyone else?
Jim and I.
Mike, and then Will.
I think Martha kind of hit it on the head. I mean, it would be hard to get somebody for 18 months. I mean, that's like contract work. You'd probably send that out to a private firm to do for 18 months. I mean, somebody's going to move here, take this job. I can't really see anybody doing that for under 3 years. So.
Well,
and I moved with the recommendation, but I'm much happier with the 3 months, 3 years. So.
We all want to be happy, right?
Happy is good.
I'm going to support this because it kind of goes along with the $300,000 for the board out. That, you know, you give somebody an ample opportunity and they can prove themselves within, you know, either very quickly or not so quickly, but give them a chance anyway. $300,000 or 3 years should work. So I would support that. Is there anyone else? Carol.
Yeah, so I just want to understand, Anna, what you were saying about the are you saying there was overlap with the mapping position? Is the person to do that as well?
No, I'm saying that is a project or it's a program, but the implementation of it is going to require coordination between a tremendous amount of programs, and that can be done with this person that I think would make for a lot of efficiencies. What I don't want to see happen, and what really my greatest worry in all of the reentry projects that we're doing, is that there are a lot of moving parts with a lot of moving people that may not necessarily be talking, and this person, the purpose of it is to coordinate. And that's going to take a lot of time. If we're looking at all of these projects and we're saying it's going to take about 3 years, and then we have a coordinator that's only 18 months, that's a real mismatch. So it's matching the two.
Loveland, and then Mike.
I guess I'm still trying to understand what this person would be doing. I'm still not following it. I was here when we had a criminal justice coordinator who did a whole lot, and it worked well. I'm not seeing the same thing here, so maybe somebody can give me the Cliff Notes convincing version of what it is this person is going to be doing that is so essential, that is not happening with CJATI or any of the other collective groups that we have.
Joe, you
help me out here.
I can start. And I think going back and looking at what Bill Benjamin did years ago is probably a good place to start. I just looked at that job description again today.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is very relevant to what we're talking about here. So you take that and you layer on top of that the desire to make sure that the things that CGR recommended get traction and that somebody is there to make sure that they are implemented, to monitor them, to identify gaps in the system and help plug those, probably to chair CJATI for a little while. So that's kind of the way I look at it, Les, and I think that's the way CGR may have scoped it out as well.
So, Joe, I appreciate that, because when I asked previously about is this going to be any similar to what, because I knew what Bill Benjamin was doing, and I thought it was great, yeah. I was told this will be different, and that's why I was asking that question. Yeah. So if you're seeing it will look like what Bill was doing, plus that makes sense to me now.
I think that's the way, particularly after refreshing it today, and I may have been the one that told you it's going to be different. And I do think that the difference is that now there's kind of a game plan that's been laid out by CGR, plus other things going on. So there needs to be a focus on making sure all those things happen as we hope they will, and also the things that Bill had done.
Thank you. If anybody else was trying to answer me, I got my answers.
Mike Lane and then Rich.
When Bill Benjamin was here, a lot of his work was coordinating grants that we got that was working on data transfer between the different police agencies and things like that. I voted against that position back then, and that was one of the ones I always told Bill I made a mistake. I should have voted for it because he did such a good job. I hope wherever we get now, we'll do well. I don't ever remember having a proposal of an 18-month one-time like this, and I'm not really happy with going to 3 years. What I would like to see, is there something on the floor at this point, Jim?
Yeah, 3 years.
A three-year, this has been moved, not what's in front of us, but it's been moved now instead at
three years. For 3 years.
All right, I would move to amend to 2 years.
Is there a second to that? See, no second?
No, I'll second. Just for purposes of discussion, I'll second it.
We have a long...
All right, discussion.
I think we're going to find out whether this is going to work in the first 18 months. And I think making a commitment at this point to a third year, I think 2 years would probably make sense. But making it for three, even though we have to approve it each year, I think is not the way we should go.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think you lose the recruiting advantage. And I really, it's not a serious commitment. And I also believe that we're going to find, this is going to be the go-to person. And I think we will find more and more things that person can, if they're good, can innovate and can produce and can bring other people together. I think it's important that we have there's an accountability built in, that there's a person in charge of all of getting their arms around all this. So I think it's really important, especially from the point of view of recruiting, as I said before.
Rich?
I think what I was going to say has kind of been said, but I'll just say, you know, if we're going along and the person's not performing or we've really gotten where we needed to go, then I think we change plans. It's not written in stone that we'd have to continue through the third year. I'm okay with putting it at three for now.
Okay. Mike? Did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, I did. To simply say I don't believe it would restrict recruiting. I just think we have a lot of applicants there for these kinds of things. And what's going to happen, in my view, is if this person is doing a good job, there'll be a rapid move to make it target and to keep the person on.
It's a good thing.
Anna had her hand up. Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to point out, I think it's interesting, we had much less discussion about the first $300,000 for 3 years, and the argument was that it's going to take about 3 years to put everything in place. And this seems pretty much the exact same to me. We're saying 3 years to put everything in place. It's the same argument. Well, it's the same amount of money. I think that the logic for one follows with the other. It's going to take a little while. We are government. We do, you know, have stumbling blocks. I think it's going to take a while to set up. I probably will come up for discussion that it'll go into target.
Remember, we're talking about two. Excuse me, Anna. The only thing I would say to you is that the county legislature is unexplainable. So, you know.
just trying to bring consistency to the conversation.
Who else had their hand up? Glenn, did you have your hand up? No. Carol, go ahead. We're talking about two now, folks.
Yeah, so we'd be doubling the 107,000. So this was, Joe, you put this in originally at 18 months. I guess I'm almost convinced to do the 3 years, but did you have a rationale? I mean, was your sense that after 18 months that a portion or a good portion of what this person is doing
will have moved into our
other positions?
I think it's just what CGR had recommended. I think they were at 18 months. And since I've got the microphone, I want to make sure everybody knows that the 107 is a one-year appropriation. So that's not 18 months worth. That's a one-year appropriation. So as we talk about multi-years, you're appropriating only 1 year of that multi-year plan.
Okay, so this would be 321,
20. Dan.
Yeah, two things. CGI recommended that we do this to implement, and it's my understanding or belief, I guess, that the ATI programs become self-sustaining. They all belong to someone else. It doesn't seem like there was meant to be an ongoing supervision of ATI programs from this position. This was meant to implement. So I still think the shorter is better. And then also, if we hire someone for 2 years and we're not quite there yet, or they're starting to take on other things that we really like, we can extend them. But if we hire them for 3 years, we can't let them go after 2 years because everything's done.
We can. We can let them go after 6 months.
If it's not working out, certainly, but if the reason is because they've accomplished all the goals of that are laid out in the CGR report, I mean, we've just said that we need to have 3 years as a recruitment tool, but if we then, after 2 years, say, well, we're done, thanks anyway, then we've gone back on our word there, I think.
I think we're done with the two. All in favor of the two-year plan, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. Opposed? Five to eight, right? Yeah, five to eight. So that two-year was beaten back. Now we're back to the three-year. Anybody else on? Any other comments on that? All in favor of the three-year plan, please raise your hand. Looks like everyone. 13 zip. Okay. Thank you for that. I don't know, you want to proceed? We'll go through the CGR list. Does that work? Sequential intercept mapping project. I love saying that. Someone want to move that? Anna moves it. Is there a second for it? Martha seconds. It is 22K, and that's out of target, right?
Tell me where I'm finding this, please, Jim.
I'm sorry?
Where can I find what you're talking about?
45.
It's one time.
Do I have it one time? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It is one time. That's one time. Somebody want to, Dan?
I was going to comment unless you were about to ask for something else. So this is the only CGR recommendation I'm going to vote against. I read the description of it. It is literally a one-day event and then some follow-up that was kind of vague to me. Literally one-day event for $22,000. And I just couldn't see how it was unconvincing to me. And the idea, I understand the concept behind it, but I think we have, the concept is to track people through the system. And I think we have the ability to do that without hiring an outside company to do a one-day workshop.
Anna and then Martha.
This is a question for Joe. I understand that was an original thought, but that is not the only model for intercept mapping. My understanding is that there's an initial launch, and then there's a follow-up for implementation so that we can coordinate consistently the judicial system and the mental health system. Can you expound on that a little bit?
That's certainly the expectation. Dan's right. I mean, the bulk of the effort occurs on in a single day when you try to put all these parts together. But then it does give you, that roadmap that we've talked about. The ideal is it also identifies gaps in the system that you can then work to fill. So we thought it was a good way, and I think CGR was there as well, to make sure that we don't duplicate, that we coordinate, that we identify the gaps, and do it in a very efficient way. Not to negotiate against ourselves, but Dan, this is something that the legislature sees may have value, but you want to look at it more carefully, particularly after a criminal justice coordinator comes on who would probably run this. I mean, this could be something that you could choose to put into the contingent account instead of just giving it to county administration to run with. So that gives you some time to go through all the details of this before finally committing to the money. So
I guess my question for you is the proposal that you had in April that we didn't follow through with was that model, but that there are many other models. We could put out an RFP for this because, for example, the company that was created by the professor that did one of the major points of research on this that I sent out to all of you guys a month ago, they also use this model, but it is a very different system than this. So we could put it in contingent and put out an RFP.
You could, yes.
Rich.
I think this is an endeavor we should undertake. However, I'm concerned about the overall cost that we're putting towards the CGR recommendations and the related budget items. I would move to amend the amendment to change it from one time to contingent fund. And
Is there a second for that?
I'll second it.
Anna? Comments, questions? Martha?
That means one-time money that gets parked in contingency?
I think that's it, yeah. So we would still take it out of reserves, but it would go into the contingent account until you released it next year.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you've got it here in your administration proposal. It's being submitted in conjunction with Department of Mental Health. So I don't know if Frank or is Sharon here or maybe Pat Buchel, if there are any staff who wanted to comment on this, if that would be helpful. They don't have to, but I mean, another idea is that putting it in contingency, so the new coordinator, let's say, would come and really would be looking at this, and there's some resources they could use.
Sure. Just to Dan's point, I'm not the biggest fan of consultants either, but in this particular instance, I think we have already tried to do this with our internal resources. There has been a group of folks meeting around the services that are being provided at the jail, and it's been a bit challenging because we all have a lot of different missions and goals that we're trying to achieve, and I think having some expert outside expertise come in, bring us together, really focus us in on what we are doing, how that may be affecting the population in totality, as well as identifying the gaps that we might not be able to see because we feel like we've put all of these resources towards it, is something that's worth investigating.
Mike and then Carol.
So I'm not going to vote for this because I'm voting for so many other things for this, but I do want to make an observation about this. This is awful marketing, I guess for lack of a better term. I came from swimming tonight, and I sat next to a bunch of regular people watching their kids, and they're going to ask me why I voted for sequential intercept mapping project. And that's, yeah. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's not a reason to vote or not vote for it, but I hear it.
No, actually, it's not a bad reason to not vote for something because if you're going to get asked by your constituents about what that is, that's not going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people, just so you know. But
Carol.
Yeah, I personally agree with Mike that we ought to give it a different name. I don't quite understand why we couldn't, although I think I support it. My question has to do with what Rich just asked. I want to make sure that I understand, that I'm sure that I understand the difference between taking it out of one time and the contingent fund and what it does to Kevin's blue box if we it doesn't move it to contingent. What's the difference?
The way I understood Rich's suggestion was it would still come out of reserves, so it wouldn't affect property taxes. It would come out of reserves, but instead of the money going into county administration's line items, it would go into the contingent account, awaiting release by the legislature next year after further review.
So if we approve anything one time now, does it still come back to the legislature? At no. some point to spend
only
the
when
money?
It, no. no, only when it goes into the contingent account. So in that case, you've built up the budget, so you've given yourself the capacity to do it, but you want to know more details. So you put it there until staff comes back with those details.
So anything that we're doing one time now, we don't talk about anymore at all? That doesn't quite make
right.
sense. Because
right. No, it's just like anything else. It's just the way you've chosen to fund it. When you choose to fund one time, you're taking money out of the fund balance, and you're giving that to the department to spend the way the OTR describes.
We'll still get, okay.
Someone else, Martha, anyone before?
You can put one-time money in the contingent fund. You can put target money in the contingent fund.
Right.
You can put one-time money in a department. You can put target money in a department. Those aren't exclusionary.
Dooley. Thank you, Martha.
I want to thank Anna for sending out a reference that purported to explain sequential intercept mapping. I had exactly the reaction Mike Sigler had. This is a terrible use of words. And I think what it says is that it's tracking sequentially the involvement with whatever. And I'm glad that there are other companies that may be useful in helping us set this up as a one-time thing. I agree with what Dan said about it not being something other than essentially a one-time event, a very short event. So I just want to thank you all for making things clearer.
Anna?
Coming from academia and knowing that there is a tendency to use words in ridiculous ways, I'm not going to defend the word usage. I know it does come from academia. But I would hope that if we do pass this, that we won't wait for people to complain about it, that we'll go out and explain it to help people understand its worth. And I think, Dooley, that's a really good point to bring up. in addition to that, it's identifying all of the points that in which we interact with people in the system, and then all of the possible support services at each point of those system and how they interact together, and we can coordinate those at each point during the system to increase the rate to which they're leaving the jail system and not going back into the system, particularly those that have been identified with mental health issues, which is one of the two major groups that we've identified. So the ultimate goal is that we have a reduction over time, but the most important that has been shown in this research is that you decrease recidivism, that this has been shown to be really effective in that particular regard. And I appreciate, Frank, that the effort has been made, and I know that it's been very difficult to coordinate because there are so many moving parts. So, again, something to consider that it has been tried.
Anyone else? I am not going to support this, and my sense is that if we have that criminal justice coordinator, maybe in the first 6 months they suggest maybe we should do something like this. And it would happen, he or she would have an opportunity to speak to all of you and make that move. So what we're voting on is
moving
one time to contingency 22K. All in favor of that, please raise your hand.
Jim, point of order.
Yes.
We're just voting on the amendment first, right? The amendment to the amendment.
Right.
Okay.
To put it in contingency, not administration.
Right. It's to put it in contingency, not administration. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, everyone supporting that. Now, the main motion, all in favor of that, and please raise your hand, 22,000, same thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Can you restate what we're voting on, please?
SIM for 22,000.
In contingent.
Okay.
The thing you talked against. Okay. Let's do it again. The $22,000, all in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that gets 8 votes. You got that? Okay. Expanded
method. Question.
Yeah, Will.
Is it going to be an easy way for us to track the vote counts after the fact? It might be interesting to know as we get to the end and say, okay, well, this...
Voted for what?
So is it...
What's the question? I don't know.
So on our vote and individual motions, is it...
I write them in the margin.
Okay. Who voted for what is what Will's asking.
Not the numbers is all I care about, whether it was like to me. That,
oh, I keep track of people.
And I'm tracking how many voted yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the last vote was 8-5, right?
That I caught. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Expanded mental health for jail services. Someone who moved that one, Martha?
What number, please?
OTR what?
OTR 59.
59.
On the back page, 42, the second. The 42nd.
It's number 42 in your amendment number. And it was for $171,000 out of target. Martha moved it. Who's second? And a second discussion. All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? One.
Who's not voting?
Positive votes again. So it should be 12, Opposed, one, so it's 12 to one.
Jim, excuse me. In addition to saying the OTR number, could you also say the topic that we're voting on for anybody who happens to be watching us from home?
You mean those 11 people?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's called Expanded Mental Health Staff for Jail Services.
Thank you.
Hello? No. Is this on? No. Advisor for Endeavor House is OTR 61, and it is amendment number 43. You want to move that? Martha moves it. Is there a second? And a second discussion. Martha.
This is a key position, even though it's a small amount of money, for support staff for the reentry housing, and they are committing to raising the money in subsequent years. So it's an ongoing expense, but OER believes that they can raise the funds once they get going.
Anyone else? It's $8,000 or $6,000 advisory for Endeavor House one time. All in favor? Opposed, Fenny. Thank you. That's 13 zip. Next one, continuation of college initiative upstate target. Well, forget that part. It's OTR number 62. It is amendment number 46. We're providing funding for college initiative upstate. It's one time on the list. Kevin.
Jim, that's one of those where we have two, and I've got them both arranged on the screen for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Which one is live? Where is the other one?
One is one time, one is target.
44 and 46.
Okay. That's correct.
Okay. Martha, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
I'll move it as target. I'm sorry. No. I meant one time. That was Will. I'll move it as one time.
That's what
is
I'm
there
seconding.
A second? One time, Anna.
That's what I'm seconding.
Discussion, moving this to one time. Anyone? All in favor?
No.
Wait.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Martha, I would be happier to do it over a period of more than one year. One time. Why do you want to only do it for one year?
Well, that's a good idea. I mean... because I didn't think of it. No, the idea of not target right away is to give them some time to show a track record, so sure.
So I would amend it to one time for 3 years. You want to make it 2 years?
2 years. I'm good with 2 years. That's friendly.
I'll just point out that the reason...
Excuse me. Do it. It's friendly. The seconder.
Well, I'm the seconder.
Oh, you're the seconder. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just throwing into the conversation, the reason that we made it 1 year, or at least the conversation that we discussed, was that in 1 year there will be graduates, and we'll have data on how many people went through the first round fully to graduation, and then we could assess whether or not we wanted to make it target at that time. So I just want to throw into that was the reason why.
Not quite long enough, in my view.
Okay. I'm happy to change it to 2 years if that's.
Anna, are you? Is that friendly?
I just said I'm happy to change it to 2 years. That's friendly.
Okay. So, friendly. Anyone else? Mike.
Move to amend back to 1 year.
Is there a second? Glenn. Discussion moving back to 1 year. Dan.
So we all obviously like the idea of this program. Remember when it came last year, it was like out of the blue and like in the quickest I've ever seen the legislature act. We're like, yes. I read the report, I don't know if you all did, that they put out, and it sounds good. I believe in this thing too. I believe in this. But I would like to see a little more rigorous measurement of what's actually going on. If you take a person that gets to a certain stage in the process of applying to college, and that's when you count them in your program, there's a good chance that they're going to succeed. But if you count them from the time, I don't know exactly how they recruit, if they show up in the jail and talk to people, whatever, you're going to get a different count. And I couldn't tell from the report exactly what was really going on. It's great that we're helping the people that made it that far. It's still a good idea, but I'm not sure it's the best way to do it. I'm not sure that we're seeing the exact accurate picture. So I'd be much more comfortable with 1 year, with the idea that some better reporting and analysis would go on of their statistics.
Thank you, Dan. Anna, you had your hand up, and then Mike.
I'm open to one or two. I'll watch the conversation as it goes. I'm listening to that, and I also wanted better reporting. I was confused a bit by how the numbers were laid out. I think it could go in two different directions. 1 year would give us the statistics of whether or not they graduated. Another measure of success would be their entry into the workforce of those that graduated, which we wouldn't get a good picture of that with only 1 year. So that's where I'm sort of in the middle here, you know, depending on which measure we as a group want to prioritize, the graduation rate or the rate of success in the work world. And I'll just leave that up for discussion.
Thank you. Mike.
I want this to work. I think in our county particularly, where we are so committed to education and to improving people's lives, that this is exactly the kind of thing we need. I'm not sure yet it's going to work for all the reasons that Dan just talked about. I went to a wonderful, let's call it a graduation program that they had out there for a number of the people who are going into this program that had made it through the 6 weeks of pre-college that they were doing for them. Wide variety of people, wide variety of ages, wide variety of backgrounds that were described to us. I want them all to succeed. I don't know if they will. I don't know if the way we're attacking this is the right way to do it. I hope it is. But I'd like to do it 1 year at a time at this point.
I have Carol and then Leslin.
I can't think of a worthier cause than taking people who have been on a more negative path, who now are moved to go to college, and helping them do that. Boy, do they cost us a whole lot more if we don't help them do that. Yes, that program was very impressive when they came last year, and as I recall, they had figures that weren't only, at that point, they had figures that were not only who had completed the program, but who they had moved forward. I do know the people and have seen close up through people I know who were not who weren't not coming from jail, but that office at TC3 that assists kids like that. They're very impressive with what they do and the amount of support they give to students already, separate from what the OAR program does. Do I recall correctly that they were asking for target money for us to say, yes, we've tested this, now let's make it target. And with everything else we've done so far, we're saying 1 year isn't enough. We're moving it from target to 2 years gives them a good chunk of time to do what you're asking, which is track it better. So then they'll have 4 years. That seems like a good amount of time, and to just be doling this out in single-year chunks seems to me they've done enough to prove it, and let's give them a slightly longer chunk and let them know they've got a couple of years to work on this.
Leslin, then Mike.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask for this clarification one more time. Even though we're voting something with multi-year, we revisit it every year to decide if we want to continue it for the following year, and we vote on it again. Right. So we may see 2 years now, but next year we're still voting on this again. And then the second half of what I want to say is I hope that we will be very clear with OER what it is we're asking them to track so that we're not at this point again next year going through this, so that we have really clear information. So thank you, Dan, for bringing that up, because I do, you know, I read the report too, and I was like, are they? So let's do that.
Let me remind you, the discussion is about 1 year right now. Mike Sigler.
Well, to dovetail off what Leslie just said, I mean, I'll vote for a year. This is one of those things that I get, like, probably the most blowback for is this particular item.
Mm-hmm, I imagine.
Because, I mean, I've got people that are struggling to put their own kids through college, and they're wondering why we're doing it. Some of the questions Dan has, I think, are really good, and I would love to get a report from OER. So I'll go another year, but it would be great to get a report of, you know, what are people getting degrees in? Are those degrees actually leading to work? I mean, if they're just leading to degrees, that sounds great for us. Like, hey, wow, people are getting a college education. But if it's not leading to an income, then I'm not really sure that it's having the effect that we're paying for.
Martha, Anna, remember 1 year we're talking about here.
Yeah, I don't want to prolong this, but just for your constituents, this is not for anybody's tuition at TC3. This is for the staff that does all the, frankly, hand-holding to help somebody who's totally checked out of the educational system to have the confidence and the tools to, like, get back into it.
Thank you,
Martha. Anna?
And I would just add to that, I think that so much of what we do here depends on how we communicate it to our constituents, that if at least for me when I talk to people and I hear that comment, it's not that we're simply putting people through college. It's that we are identifying people who are at risk of recidivism, and that recidivism would cost taxpayers significantly more, and we're helping them change their path so that they are part of a system and contributing rather than costing, which is very, very different than potentially, you know, all of us putting our kids through school, which I understand. We're taking a situation and we're trying to minimize the negative impact for the community as a whole. So I think that's a way that we can communicate it that might be more effective, and that's where I stand. And, again, I'm okay with 1 or 2 year.
Anyone else? Let me remind you. Oh, did you have your hand up again?
Put me on the list for...
Go ahead.
After the amendment.
All right. I need to remind myself, $84,000 for a person's salary and a couple of other people. And no college student gets any financial benefit or potential college student. So I think we're ready to vote on the 1 year. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So back to the main motion, 1 year, one time. 84K for continuation of college initiative upstate. All in favor of that? Please. Carol?
Never, I'll pass.
All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That passes 13. Nothing. Okay.
I had two hands.
A couple of items left here. Additional senior probation officer for drug court and electric monitoring. It's OTR number 70, and it is amendment number 33. And I have Glenn, Will, Martha, and Mike. Someone want to move it? Glenn moves. Is there a second? Duly seconds. This is probation, $107,000 target. Any comments, questions? Martha.
Yeah, this is one of the places where I really thought CGR was exercising wishful thinking. Pat Buchel is nodding. you know, it was like, yeah, have you know, double your client caseload, and you won't need any extra staff. So I think in order to make these improvements work, you just really, really have to have another PIA, probation officer.
Anyone else? All in favor of additional senior probation officer, drug court, and electronic monitoring, please raise your hand. Opposed offending? 13's it. CJR is doing well here. The last one in the CGR bank is OTR 80. It is number 36. And it is fund additional second full-time registered professional jail nurse. Who wants to move it? Anna? Second? Dave? Comments? Ready to vote? Mike?
I understand this gives us more coverage.
Right.
How is it an ATI program?
How isn't it?
Should we send an email to someone and let them get back to us? No, I'm going to let Rich answer that.
Mike, I think you have made a good point that I don't know what direct impact this is going to have on the jail population, but when we met and heard all the different people coming in, it seemed pretty clear to the committee that there was a glaring problem with one person trying to manage all of the health care needs of everybody in the jail. The point that we heard repeatedly was that everybody that comes in there leaves in better condition than when they arrived. And while you don't see the direct benefit, the thinking, if I can summarize it, was if we can improve their health more consistently and tie it into the work with the mental health department people, we may get some additional benefit from having the extra jail nurse position. But beyond that, it just seemed like this is necessary. So to that extent, it's not necessary. You wouldn't call it an ATI. You'd call it just we need the position.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just say that the jail nurse is going to benefit from this more than anybody.
Is that true?
Martha.
Well, it's not actually an ATI because she or he would be treating incarcerated people. So those people are incarcerated, are there in the jail. But in the sense that jail is a teachable moment, yeah, it's like people like are forced to face, you know, all sorts of things that it's easy to avoid out on the street. The coverage of many more hours, that, you know, especially evenings and weekends, to have somebody there to assist in health broadly, mental health, detox, all the rest, I think it will really enable people to make, well, you know, the sounds funny, but make the most of that experience. So I think it really will help long term.
All right. Do we still only have one nurse at the jail?
Right.
And do we occasionally still contract out some of those services? Off the top of your head, do you recall about how much money we spend contracting out medical services?
Sorry, but I don't know.
What good are you?
No good.
Things you're supposed to...
That's why I have to go away.
Leslyn, I think we did see some information on that. It was a fairly small number.
Remember.
Because the present nurse just doesn't take any time off, which is not optimal.
Right. Anna?
Thank you.
I'd point out one of the things that we're dealing with right now is a tremendous issue with opioid crisis. And one of the things that is being discussed in the jail is the use of medications like Suboxone, which I think is a really important component of addressing some of the issues. There are pros and there are cons, but there's a list of medications that my understanding, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but doing that in the current context with the nurse that we have that's already stretched thin, that is only there for 40 hours a week, would make that very, very difficult, given that people don't show up in the jail necessarily on a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday. So there's also those programs to support that we need to consider.
Lawson.
Anna, I was close until you said that. I'm struggling with this one. You know, I used to be in the jail and know what it's like when it still is the one nurse. Don't misinterpret that, folks. Me using to be in the jail, and me, you know, I was housed there permanently, which is okay. I'd rather see those treatment services happen outside of the jail and that money be invested in getting people to treatment outside of the jail than in the jail. So I'm struggling with this one. So if we do this, it would add one more full-time nurse to the jail who can be there evening hours, additional weekend hours, that kind of stuff. All right.
Just to respond to that.
Excuse me. Martha, and then you.
Yeah, just it's not an either or. You know, I really think we've got to do both and provide services outside, support the Alcohol Council and CARS, et cetera, but also really make this a more humane place inside.
Anna?
So in the report, it showed the average stay of people in the jail, and I was very pleased to see that it isn't as long as I thought, the average being for a majority of people about 2 to 3 weeks. Maximum, and the recommendation from mental health, Department of Mental Health, Public Health, and in the jail as well, is that mental health services and drug treatment, you know, should not be prioritized in the jail. So I just want to make it clear that that was outlined in the report and that was discussed in the jail study, and that it's the discussion is not that we prolong people's stay and that the drug treatment should happen in the jail. The discussion, though, did happen that if people were in clear need, and right now, for example, CARS doesn't have the expanded beds, we do not have the detox center, people may end up waiting for excessive amounts of time before they can transition, and having that support during that transition may help them tremendously. And so that was more of what I'm referring to, not that the treatment should happen in the jail.
Thank you.
I'm going to support this. Mike, I'm sorry that the question about ATI, I don't think it's an ATI program. It basically is, I put it in the same category as the weights and measures guy. He works his job all day long, and we've all often said, well, he should have someone who helps him and allows him to not work all the time. And if I'm a jail nurse, I want to take a day. I want to take a day off. And you know, if I leave, then the county's going to have to contract out. So here's the decision for me: either hire another person or commit to contracting out completely a full-time person. You know. And, you know, that's a different thing. But at any rate, Mike.
I just want to make sure everyone understands that if we add a nurse there, we still aren't going to have 24-hour nurse coverage anywhere near.
You're right.
Move to amend it to 5?
No. All in favor of this, please. There is no amendment. This is a straight-up proposal. All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Opposed, funding? Oh, I'm not opposed. It's 13. There were no opposed. That concludes CGR. And I'm going to go back to the regularly scheduled program, if you don't mind, which is amendment number 3. It is Kiefer Morey Dentist Contingent Fund. Potential for organizational change in county administration. Someone want to move that? Glenn moves it. Is there a second? Dooley. Discussion. Dan, and then Mike.
Am I correct? This is coming from contingent and to contingent?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
If the county administrator did his job right. Okay.
Somebody explain it.
Someone want to explain it? Mike.
We've been awfully fortunate the last few years to have a county administrator who had a real wealth of experience in so many different areas and has been able to oversee our budget and our administration and do that with probably the minimum number of people. We always used to have two deputy county administrators. We have one now plus Kevin's position. I don't know what's going to happen when we hire a new county administrator next year, whether that person is going to have all the budget background or all the different kinds of background and development or buildings or other things that we've called upon the current county administrator to advise us on. I think it's important that the new county administrator have the ability to try to have a little flexibility in how he or she will make this office work best. And if that means hiring another county, a deputy county administrator, I think there ought to be money available for that person to do that. If that person feels they don't need it, maybe they need a part-time person or some help in a different area in administration, they'll have the ability to do that. They can bring it and talk to the GO committee about that. But I think putting this money into contingency, we've been putting a lot of money there, is important because of the change we're going to be going through.
Thank you. Anyone else? I've talked about this with the county administrator as long as I've chaired the budget committee. And I was told this was a roast, but it isn't. I've talked about this with the county administrator for many years since he's been here. And it's a guy who's worked 7 days a week. We're not going to hire anyone like that again. Hopefully that they'll take their days off and do the things they need to do. And we got an awful lot out of Joe for the money we were paying him. So what I was happy to see that he put this forward, that we were going, you know, there's a potential for another person coming in here and hiring someone else to assist in the things that the county administrator does. So I don't have a problem supporting this at all. Martha and then Anna.
I'm having trouble finding it in my various things here. Joe, did you...
Yes.
Didn't fund it, but did you
recommend it?
Recommend it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I feel terrible. It's like we should have done this 6 years ago. And yes. Okay. I'm happy to support it.
Anyone else? Anna.
Just wanted to ask Joe, you gave me a really good explanation when you were describing this about the ideal structure of administration with respect to the administrator and the deputy administrators, how many and what the office would look like ideally. Can you...
Well, it's my ideal. And the person you bring in next may have a whole different sense of how to organize. And so that's the way I would look at this. It's an opportunity for that new person with consultation from you to figure that out. I always thought that a good organization would be a county administrator, a deputy to oversee the human services side of the organization, a deputy to oversee the physical services side, and that would split up the reporting responsibilities in a manageable way, allow some expertise and so forth. So I always thought that was a pretty good organizational model for the office. But again, the next person in may have a completely different perspective on it.
I just want to make sure everybody had that because I thought it was a great vision.
You'll leave a note in the desk, right?
I will. The three envelope story.
Anyone else? All in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any. It is 12 to 1.
Did you get it?
Okay. The next one, planning sustainability, OKR 69, amendment number 4. It is CSI stream monitoring, $2,750 from the contingent to the target from contingent. Someone want to move it? Carol moves it. Second. Dooley second. $2,700, half an hour discussion.
Of course, Mr. Chair.
No, seriously.
Please don't cut
it short.
Anyone
want to make one comment? One comment.
Yes. It's not only monitors the health of our stream water, but it does it with volunteers supervised by an excellent professional, Steve Penningroth, and it has our residents, including our youth, young people, doing science. For $2,750, we get an incredible deal on this.
All right, Carol, you don't have to take the whole half an hour.
Exactly.
I am serious.
That was one sentence.
You
two sentences. That was one and a half.
Mike, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
I'm assuming this is something that's currently going on. So I guess my question is, I mean, there was a lot of talk about the HABs this summer, the algae blooms in the lake and how the runoff from the streams were causing that. And I don't know, if we had a program like this, I would have thought that we would have had some kind of report or some kind of data about the extra runoff, and I haven't seen anything along those lines. So it may be a wonderful program, but it doesn't seem to be presenting the data to us that would be helpful. So...
Thank you, Mike. We have someone in the audience who raised their hand and probably can speak to this. Go to the microphone, sir, and please turn it on. There you go.
Thank you. Yes, if the HABs situation had occurred about a month earlier, FAFSA would be targeted, okay? But this request... You know, I put it in 2 or 3 weeks before the HAB situation arose. I am thinking very much about HABs and how to develop a capability in our laboratory here in Ithaca to do effective monitoring, including lab testing. It's complicated. HABs is very complicated, as I'm sure you know. There's a Community Science Institute with the Cayuga Lake Watershed Network and Floating Classroom put on a HABs forum September 30th, this past Saturday, where we tried to lay out the situation and explain the science behind the HABs. I anticipate there will be other meetings, conferences, forums to try to figure out just how to approach the problem. But I think one thing you definitely need is data. On lakes and streams, or on Cayuga Lake and its tributary streams, and that's what we do.
And is that what this money is for, is to collect data, or is it to do forms?
This money represents an increase in what the county is already providing us. We get, I think it's $25,250 a year, I think, from the county, along with seven municipalities also fund us. So this is an increase. $750 is a 3% increase over last year. We have not had an increase from the county since 2011, I believe, so it's 6 years. And then the $2,000 in there is for an increase in monitoring insects and streams called benthic macroinvertebrates, and we're doing more and more of that. That's bringing in more volunteers, bringing in more children into that program. We have something called Ithaca Kids with a BMI expert and our outreach coordinator that have monthly programs, many of which have to do with BMI. So it's an increase.
Please say your name for the record.
I beg your pardon. My name is Steve Penningroth. I'm the director of the Community Science Institute.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Martha had her hand up.
I don't want to extend this half-hour conversation, so I'll just say, Steve, will you come to PDEC in the next month or two and give us a report? It's my fault that we haven't had you already come to the committee.
I'd be happy to.
Okay, thanks.
All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Opposed, if any? 13 zip. Thanks, Steve. Fund Youth Services Librarian, OTR 91, Amendment Number 5 here, TCPL 43K, Carol Chalk.
Yeah.
You want to move it?
I'll
is there a second?
And if there's a second, I'll.
Mike, second. Discussion. Okay. Kevin.
Jim, this is one of those where we have two different addressing the same OTR. They're on the screen for you.
How much is the other one? What's the number of the other one?
528.
Oh,
so Julian will move this at the
one whole is for moment. 20 hours and one is for 30. Is that it?
Okay, well,
that's correct.
So, okay,
so whatever it's, full time is what I had in mind.
Well, okay, hold on.
So I moved this at this amount. Maybe we could handle it with an amendment should people want to do that, to talk about whether to raise it to what the request had been.
Essentially, Carol, it's a half-time position.
They had asked for 30 hours a week, and it was going to cost us $65,386. And this is for the youth services librarian that we heard about so eloquently in the hearing, in the forum, whatever that was. And the library, we have helped the library, that the library has built and fundraised for this whole youth and teen section, and this helps to staff it. Any hour spent in the library is an hour not getting into trouble. They obviously have done a really good job with the youth. I thought that given the other things we had on our plate to date and for this whole long list of things that we have, that $65,000 was kind of steep, and I asked the library, Kevin and the library, what would it cost at various other amounts of time, and would they be happy if we did 20 hours? And obviously, the youth and the library would be happier if we did 30 hours a week. But I thought that at this point, 20 made sense, and we could revisit the other 10 hours per week as we walked through the rest of the budget.
Mike, did you have your hand up? You seconded. I'm sorry. Anyone else? Dooley?
Well, I always think if I need a job, I would like to work closer to full time than part time. Now, maybe you can get excellent people happy to work only 20 hours a week, but both from the employee's perspective and particularly from the youth's perspective, we're not going to have fewer kids needing help in the library. We're going to have an ongoing need, so I think it should be the larger amount, Carol. And apparently Will agrees, so I would be happy to move to amend this.
Well,
and I would second that. I think...
Wait, what are we doing?
Duly moved to amend to the larger number.
Okay, I didn't hear it say.
The requested number, 30.
Yes.
Okay, so you're moving to 30, and Will is seconding it?
Correct.
So the discussion now is on the 30. Anna and then Martha.
So we have a situation, I think, if I recall, Joe, this is not something you recommended for this year, although it is something that you value because we have so many things going on, if I recall. In the discussion, I asked during the presentation if it would be valuable to have a halftime, and the response was absolutely. I'll take it if that's what we get. I guess for me, given I'm very worried about how many things we have, but I do want to support it. I would like to start with the halftime, and then we can revisit it later on if we feel that we have some wiggle room.
Martha, then Mike, and then the other Mike.
So I'm looking at Section 5, page 73, which is like the quick summary of their budget. 2005 was a little over the target. I guess I don't know if it's all target. Well, there more than 3 million. The next year, 3.2 million. 2017, 3.4 million. And so it's gone, you know, we've put a lot of money into the library over the years in ways that we really needed. So, you know, I wish I could support this at 30 hours. It's kind of a stretch for me to support it at 20, but I would vote for it at 20.
Mike Lane, Mike Ziegler.
We do our best for our library. We have a wonderful library, have wonderful administration. Spent some time the past couple of years looking at the potential of additional revenue sources because we understand that we just can't fill all the holes. Over now 4 years, we've been trying to do away with the structural or the structural budget deficit that we had, and we put money in every year. But we haven't been able to then add a lot of staff because of that. I know the library board continues to look at the issue of alternative funding that could bring it up to the kind of library that we would love to see in Ithaca. But, you know, there's often more will than there is wallet. So I think we need to do something here. I'd like to do it at the halftime. But we just can't afford to do everything.
Other Mike Ziegler.
I agree with what Mike just said, and I support libraries as well. I just think sometimes maybe you have to take a step back. I mean, the library's budget, the county, is, what, $3.7 million? Is that about right, Joe? I thought it was higher than that, actually. But let's say, for sake of argument, $3.7 million. I mean, I don't want to go all country mouse, city mouse on you. You know, Lansing has outgrown its library. They're going to go out and try to raise, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million. When Lansing wanted to actually build that library, they went out to the voters and said, hey, we want to levy a tax. And Lansing actually voted, yeah, we're going to levy a tax. I look at, you know, the rural library out in Dryden, and we want to build a new library. We're going to sell this Lincoln letter and raise the funds to do that. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to try to shame the city here. It is in the city. I understand it's used by the entire county. But, I mean, let's face it, a lot of city people use that, and the county carries the share of that. And I can't, you know, we fund it a lot. $3.7 million is a lot. That's a big budget.
3.5. It's 3.5. They'll take the extra $200,000.
Whatever. You get my point. And I think that's pretty good. And we're doing a lot this year with a lot of other things, and I just don't think this is the time for that.
Will.
We are doing a lot. We are giving a lot of money. Their staff has essentially been flat. When we saw that chart of what they used to have and what they're currently doing with increased usage, and year after year, we sort of failed to address this. So, yes, Carol, half is better than nothing, but I think I would love to see us really, really step up and do the full amount. And, Mike, I completely support rural libraries, and I will vote for those as well, because I think these are one of the most basic institutions, and we need to be supporting them.
Anyone else? We're talking about 30K. All in favor of that resolution, please raise your hand.
Wait a minute. It's the hours.
I'm sorry?
30 hours versus 20 hours.
No, I understand. 30 hours versus halftime 20. All in favor of the 30 hours.
Please restate. I'm confused.
What?
So what are we voting on, the amendment to raise it to 65?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you.
Or 30 hours. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed. 5 to 8. Back to the main motion, halftime or 20 hour. Any more discussion on that? All in favor of the 20 hours, please raise your hand. Where do I have? Opposed? Two. 11, two. 20 hours goes in. Ongoing parks planning with City of Ithaca, OTR number 8, and it is $10,000 out of the, it's one time out of contingent. Someone want to move it? Anna moves it. Is there a second? Dave, second. Discussion. Dan.
I'm going to say a few things about this one. First of all, I want to point out that it's not only from contingent, but it's also to contingent, meaning we'd have to vote on the actual plan next year because there is no current plan. What this is talking about is what they're now calling the waterfront district, which would be Stewart Park, Cass Park, the golf course, and the waterfront trail. So there's a whole bunch in there, all in that same geographical area. I know that some of my fellow legislators have felt like this is not our business. This is a city park, city pays for it, and I understand that. But I do think we need to acknowledge that county-wide residents, people from all over the county use it, and it's a big part of our tourist draw to have waterfront accessible, Cayuga Lake accessible to people. And it is currently paid for completely by the city. So we talked about different ways that we could approach this, and I think we pretty much rejected the idea of writing a check to the city, that the county would write a check to the city. I don't think any of us like that. So we've been trying to explore different governance models. And what I'm about to describe is not the only thing that's risen up. I just want to give it as an example of what that might mean. So we talked a lot about a conservancy. There are over 2,000 conservancies in the United States. This is not a experimental thing. This is tried and true. And basically there's two components of that would be important to remember. One is that there's paid staff that are just focusing on parks. And the other is that they're able to do their own fundraising. So there's an advantage to us right there. We would be putting something into it. We would be putting some money into it, but not forever and endless. The idea would be to start up an organization that could then do its own fundraising. And that's an advantage to the county as well as the city. The city budgeted money for this last year. They didn't specifically budget money for it this year. They have money left over from other projects, so they're considering a rollover money. They were unable to tell me at this moment exactly how much that is. All the more reason why it should be in our contingent fund so that we can see an actual plan next year before we vote on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Anna.
I wanted to just thank Dan for all his work on this. You've brought it to the county. I know you've had a lot of conversations with the city, and this is a real tourist area that we do have for the entire county, and it has really suffered for a lack of funding. It's been sort of maintained at the bare minimum, recognized it wasn't a delinquent situation. It's that it is a very large area with a lot of buildings on it. And so the conversation is really also we need to reevaluate what its worth is to the county and see what is needed to make it what it could be, which it currently isn't. And I found the meetings to be exceptionally helpful in those conversations. And it's clear that it is going to be, if we're going to do it right, it's going to be complicated and a lot of stakeholders. And the point of these meetings is to make sure that all the stakeholders are included and that the ultimate governance model that we identify helps us get to that outcome that we need to have it be what it could be for the whole county. So I think this is a very small amount of money for a very lofty but reachable end goal. So,
anyone else about this $10,000? From target to contingent, right, Dan? Or one time? Whatever. One time to contingent.
Right.
Mike Ziegler.
So again, I mean, we can argue that the entire county does use these parks, but again, is that because of lack of vision by the city on what this park could be, or is that somehow supposed to be put back on the county? You know, we have Myers Park in Lansing. That's self-sustaining because we decided to put in camping and we decided to put in, you know, dockage. And there are things there for people to go. And we charge people when they come to the park. I don't know what the city's vision for Stewart Park is. But again, this certainly seems like something that's, okay, it's the city. And that's great. And if they wanted to come to us and ask us for help, I guess that would be okay. But when I go down to the park, well, they did. Okay. Well, I'm glad we said no. And I don't, this seems to be a yes to me, and I don't want to kind of go backwards. I was kind of happy with the no. So.
10K, folks, let's not get too far in the weeds, okay? Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to add one last thing, which is that if a conservancy is created, it can be joined by other municipalities in the county as it expands. That's really important, and so that the governance can be inclusive if it is found to be advantageous and it helps the tourism of all the municipalities. And it really could. And I think that it's visionary to see it that way, but it's also realistic. The other thing I wanted to add is that it's not just Stewart Park. It's the Waterfront District, which expands from the north end of Stewart Park, wraps around the southern point of the lake, and goes up over to Hangar Theater.
Carol and Martha?
I'll be brief. It's 10K one time in order to keep our toe in and be able to talk intelligently later about what it is our options are.
Martha?
I'll just agree with what Carol just said and point out that I was one of the crabby opponents against on this one. And confess to conversion. I think it's worth staying in.
Are we done with this? All in favor of this amendment, please.
Duly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Duly, go ahead.
I guess I'm still a crabby opponent. I can understand our possible countywide interest in Stewart Park. I don't agree with it in Cass Park. And I no longer know what the Waterfront District is because that was not part of the original discussion, and I don't know how that limits this discussion. That hasn't been put in writing anywhere from the city. So I will still be voting no.
Well,
I live in the town. I am in the Waterfront District one way or the other, probably three or four times a week. It is amazingly used. I keep running into people, and they are from all over. It really, truly is a tourist attraction. Black Diamond is just going crazy, but Stewart Park, every time you go down there. And
Children's Garden,
exactly. I made it out to Myers once this summer. It's a wonderful park. It's a little off-center in terms of, you know, where I live, but I'm glad it exists, and thank you for having that. But I hope we can do this.
Anyone else? All in favor of this, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. So it passes 9-4. The next one is COFA, increase hourly rates for home care subcontractors, and is target from contingent. Someone want to move it? Carol moves it. Is there a second? Glenn, second. Discussion.
Boy, with Carol moving it and Glenn seconding it, I'm not sure we need to have much discussion, but I agree. look around the room. I have a soft spot for home care providers, having needed one for over 2 years. They don't get paid enough for what they do, and if we can help to give them an increase through our Office for the Aging, that we should do that.
Mark, you have your hand up? Go ahead.
I was trying to remember on this one, wasn't there a concern about it might be difficult to separate some of the folks here that are doing county sponsored work as opposed to private or other agencies, and how we would police this? Joe, do you remember that discussion?
Yeah, and I'll probably ask Lisa to, I saw her earlier, to explain it. There is a pass-through effect, so this money would go to the agencies, and then the agencies would need to figure out how to pass that through to the actual home care workers. Lisa can explain it better than I.
Yeah, I want to make it clear that this increase would go to the negotiated rate that we for which we subcontract with the agencies, and then that in turn we would expect would help to increase the aide salaries. However, I can't say dollar for dollar that would happen, because for what you just alluded to, Mike, the agencies pay their aides based on rates that they blend, based on all of the payers that they contract with. So they have private pay individuals, they have rates negotiated through the VA, rates negotiated through Medicaid, and our rates. So what we try to do is to keep our rates comparable and competitive, and increase them each year. But those rates typically go into make one blended rate, so that each aide isn't paid a different rate based on the payer source of the client that they're seeing. So I hope that makes sense. And we do try to continue to raise the rates, give a cost of living adjustment to the agencies each year. And typically when we're doing that, we have a fixed amount that we're working with. So if we take the increase from that fixed amount, it just means we have less to work with, so fewer hours of service can be provided.
Lisa, I have a question. What would the $20K mean to the average home care worker? Ballpark.
Well, this is a 5% increase over the rates that we paid last year. So, and I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay. So it's a 5% jump from last year to this year.
Yeah.
Anna.
Are home care aides currently making a living wage, of curiosity?
No, typically not.
Right, so it's one group that's significantly, consistently below the living wage.
That is correct.
And this would allow us to target, it's the one thing that we can do that can target one of the lowest paid groups in the county.
Yeah, we can help. This will certainly help.
Leslie, I apologize. I had your name, but I didn't call on you.
That's all right. I'm just a city mouse.
A what?
So I asked Lisa this question because this, of course, was an area of interest for me. There is no guarantee that this money is going or will go to the aides. And that is part of my problem here with it. So I'm all for making sure that people get a living wage, and I believe our aides should be paid that. But since there's no guarantee, is there a way for us to build that into some contract arrangement, that this money that we're given, the majority of it must go to wages for the aides? Is there somewhere for us to do that? Because they're making not a lot of money, and the agency is getting the money. So it's a 5% increase on what we've given to the agency. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily a 5% increase in the salaries that people will be making. So I'm struggling with this for that reason. Can we build in something like that, or do I have to look to add a different contingent amount to go there
and saying that it is for the purposes of increasing wages. I'm on smart people.
Would you like me to? I can just respond to that by saying I agree with you. And over the years, I've found it very difficult to do that because we are one small payer in the mix of payers that they are working with. So while this increase certainly helps keep our rates competitive with the other payers, and which will ultimately help to bolster the rates that the take-home pay of the aides, it's not a direct one-for-one necessarily. So, and without distinguishing between the payer sources, it's really hard to do that. So, you know, for our ICEP program, you know, to be distinguished in terms of saying aides who work for an ICEP client will make this amount.
Right.
Aides who work for a Medicaid client
can't do that.
Won't, yeah, so it becomes very tricky.
Mr. Chair, I'm probably going to vote no against this tonight, but I would engage in more conversation with whomever the powers that be to figure out how I can bring a different amendment forward to support, to make sure that our aides are getting paid. And even if it's $20,000 that is spread across however many aides they are, like you said, they do that sort of blend, I'd like to think of it that way.
Somebody has a hand up over here. Go ahead.
I thought that was an excellent question, Leslie, and I agree that I would like to see this money going towards increasing the actual salaries, but I also understand the answer. It is within the context of everything else they do. It would seem like we would have control over or the ability to put into our RFP or the paperwork that we ask them to provide each year, you know, tell us what you, something to the effect of tell us what you're doing to get your aides up to a living wage. You know, is that an aim? What are your policies? We could be asking for that information at a minimum. And in the interest of not making Lisa necessarily come back, although there might be other items you need to come back for, if that would satisfy the, Lisa's nodding her head that she could do that, so if that would satisfy, I'd be content with trusting them to handle it with the agencies.
Anyone else? Mike.
To move this money into contingency to see what Leslin might be able to come up with, what Carol might be able to come up with, but have the money set aside so it could be used.
Is there a second to that? Okay. Julie?
That was a second.
Oh, all right. So are we ready to vote on that? Oh, Dan.
So normally in contingency, you know, how as I understand it, it's for a plan that's not, doesn't quite exist yet, and then next year we hear details of the plan, we say, yes, we still want to do that. When would we need to know by in order to, is there a time frame that the agencies would need to have this information by? Yes, Lisa, I'm asking you. So if we don't, you know, if we put off this discussion and don't vote till March, does that mess up the schedule, the time frame of how the agencies operate in terms of their pay scale and all that kind of thing?
Our contracting, for some of our contracts, they begin January 1.
So we'll work on it, and I don't think we necessarily, it's contingency isn't always waiting for a plan to come back. Not always the case.
But
we might be able to come up with a resolution that will satisfy us in the next couple of meetings.
Okay, so that's the understanding that to maximize this benefit, we need to do it by the end of the year somehow. Okay, thanks.
Anyone else? Go ahead.
Well, It's good enough for me. I mean, if we got an audible yes rather than just a head nod from Lisa, I think that she's gotten the gist, and I don't feel like I need to put this in contingency. I think that our department can handle, just do it. And is that, Lisa, I mean, do you feel like there's something complicated enough here that we should be weighing in on the actual wording of what you're going to do with these?
What I'm hearing is that you want assurance that this funding will go toward the direct care worker, toward their salary and their take-home pay, and to the contracting should reflect that. And we should be getting evidence that that takes place with this funding.
That's what I'm interested in.
Well, yeah, that would be ideal.
No, not all at once, please. Anna, you have your hand up.
I just want to throw out another idea that's kind of a wild and crazy idea. What about the possibility about taking the $20,000 and dividing it by healthcare workers, giving them gift cards, like, say, Wegmans, to get food, which is a direct gift cards don't get taxed, direct payment? I mean, is that something that's possible? I know that it's done with a couple agencies locally, so.
Can't give gifts. I don't think you can give a gift. Mike?
I don't think that would be pass muster with our county attorney.
Right.
That would be a gift.
We have Mike's amendment, which is to move this from target to contingency. All right. All in favor of that, please. $20,000, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? Should be 4. 9-4. So the main motion now? Yeah. Who's the 4 opposed? It was Dan and Dooley, right?
No.
Right here. 9-4. Main motion. $20,000. All in favor? Opposed, if any. Thank you. I want to go to 8 o'clock. And just so you know, we're not going to talk about the fund, the new capital reserve housing for unassigned general fund revenue reserve of $300,000, because I don't want to stay here till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we'll try to get through as many as we can by 8 o'clock. It's a hard stop, I heard. All right?
$3 million.
I'm sorry?
$3 million. Is that $300,000? When you remember.
I'm sorry. $3 million. Jeez. I need to change his glasses.
See, Jim, we spent a half an hour.
Is that called a Freudian slip?
Yeah, but if we spend a half an hour and $27.50, we.
Right. All right.
It's called reverse psychology.
Fund a unique natural area, UNA, up to Environmental Management Council, $5,000, planning sustainability. OTR 68, someone want to move it? Anna moves it. Is there a second? Dooley second. Discussion? All, please raise your hand. All in favor of doing this? Please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? One opposed, 12-1. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
It's getting later.
Next one, number 9. 2% COLA for youth services contracted agencies. Chalkkeeper Morey, someone want to move it? Glenn moves. Is there a second? Dave seconds. Discussion. Mike.
I just want to ask Joe, why wasn't this in? Just out of curiosity.
Joe.
It's an increase in target. So it was one of the things I suggested, but it was an increase in target, so it was yours.
Gotcha. Martha.
So we've got don't we have a 2% increase?
Yeah. I misunderstood the question. Mike's question was why weren't they a part of that 2% increase we gave to other agencies? So the 2% goes to the agencies that the county contracts with directly. It doesn't go to agencies that departments contract with.
Gotcha.
So that's why this one didn't get the 2%.
Anyone else? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. Thank you. 13 zip. 3 million. No, we'll skip that one. Restore funding for travel and training in ITS at 8,000. Someone want to move it? Dan moves. Glenn second. Discussion. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? Thank you. Opposed, if any? Raise your hand. No one raises their hand.
I just wanted to ask
a
question.
I mean, those short naps help, but.
Distracted by Glenn.
Yeah. It's ITS. I mean, where did he go? Poor guy sitting here all night long for $8,000. All right.
Travel and training.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask.
Okay.
Is there a reason why this is not one time as opposed to target?
Joe.
Yeah, this has been a part of their target budget. It was a sacrifice to be able to do the other things that they needed to do in their budget. They made this cut to target, and what they're asking for is a restoration of that target authority. So it would keep going for the long haul. So it's their training budget.
So is it that ITS still in the house?
Yeah.
Oh, hey. So great. Is it that ITS knows that they will be using $8,000 every year for travel and training? Is that usually what happens?
Yeah, we had to decrease our requested budget to meet the mandates for everything else in our budget by $8,000. And so we had to pick one thing in our existing budget to put out there. Which is travel and training at the amount of $8,000. So there is some money existing in the target budget for travel and training across the department. So this $8,000 would get us back to the level that we existed in the past 2 years.
Let me ask a follow-up. What did you do when you decreased this? What did you do in terms of traveling and training?
We had to increase our costs for some of our contracts for professional services for Officer 365.
No. I meant in terms of travel and training. What did you do? Did you not do training? You decreased that amount?
If this amount is not passed, then we will have to decrease the amount of travel and training expenses that we use in the future. And those decisions on what is selected to spend money on travel and training across the department would be different in the subsequent years.
Thank you.
So we'd have to decrease our choices of what we attend for travel and training by more than half the amount that we have now.
Thank you.
Any other questions about this one? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any?
Don't let me hear IT is going to Hawaii for travel and training.
Turn it over to page 2. What, Martha?
Never mind. That's all right.
Page 2, this should take up the next 6 minutes, and it will be the last one. It is multi-year, one-time support of 50% of salary and benefits for full-time staff attorneys to serve low-income residents with legal barriers to employment. It's called Law New York. And it's Anna's. Do you want to move it, Anna?
Yep.
Is there a move? Is there a second? Leslin, second. Comments, questions? Anna first.
I just want to make sure. So quick summary, as a lot of you guys have probably read, the tons of emails and support information I've been sending to you from Law New York, from Kathy, from OAR, from assigned counsel. Two emails of support came in today. Again, if you did not see them, one was from assigned counsel and one was from OAR. The original concern was that potentially this program overlapped with a lot of the other reentry. This is the should have been among the reentry. The reason that it was not in the process that the Human Services Coalition does for their assessment of their agencies is that this funding was cut very recently. Actually, they found out in August, which is why this came to us now. So I just wanted to make that clear. Otherwise, it would have been in the Human Services Coalition budget. That's one point. The other point is that this is attorney services, and that is not something that is provided by any of the other reentry agencies, except for assigned counsel. And the email that came from assigned counsel today specifically pointed out that there is zero overlap in what assigned counsel offers in support of people coming out of the jail. This is specifically civil and administrative law support. And one of the main areas that they support is issues with housing, and they have found this to be exceptionally important. They made a point of saying to me that this is the only place where they send people. They specifically do not work with people covering these issues, and this is the only place that they currently can send them. So if we do lose this program, we lose a very important service provided. The reason that we haven't heard about this in the past is because it was functioning really well. It didn't have any hiccups. It was one of those things that just worked, and it's small. It's within an entire suite of services by Law New York. So it's one of those, you know, issues where it wasn't a squeaky wheel and we didn't hear from it. But now that it's a little squeaky because of this funding, it's coming up. It just happens to be now rather than 6 months ago. So,
so Mike had his hand up.
More of a question, really. So you kind of covered it a little bit, but why isn't this, I guess, I kind of rely on the Human Services Coalition to kind of vet agencies that we use, because, frankly, I don't want to vet every single agency that comes looking for money. And I guess, why isn't this under their umbrella?
Can I just respond to that, then?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll just kind of direct it to you.
Yes. I just want to make sure, following procedure. Actually, I was approached by Kathy Schlatter, the director, and she made it clear to me that she was approached by Greg Thomas, who is the attorney who oversees Law New York, who communicated to her that he apologized that he didn't have it in his original. They do actually already support Law New York, so they are vetted, and their services are pretty consistent. We've been supporting them for a while. Human Services Coalition. So they are one of the vetted agencies of the Human Services Coalition already. So if you want to know that they are vetted, they are. This is just a particular program that when they gave them their budget, it wasn't in there because it was previously funded through AmeriCorps, and that funding was cut by the federal government recently. That was not a known thing that would happen, and that happened in July and August. And so this came up during that time, and it's a niche service that's being provided. The lawyer that is currently doing it, we would lose her completely. My understanding is she's pretty exceptional and has been doing this work for a couple of years. So,
I don't deny any of that. I just, why is the Human Services Coalition then not coming forward and asking for this money as opposed to this being like a new resolution by you?
Because that budget had already been presented as a packet. So that, I mean, we could have put it as an amendment specifically to the Human Services Coalition, but this was more direct because that budget has already been completed. And so it was requested that it be brought up as its own for this time. So in the future, I'm sure it would probably be rolled into the continuing requests by Law New York through the Human Services Coalition. Kathy Schlatter is here. Is that pretty much correct? If you have anything to add to that.
Yeah. Who else had their hand up? Dan, Leslin.
Mr. Chair, can I just make a disclosure?
I'm sorry?
Can I just make a disclosure?
Yeah.
Please, because I don't want to continue. And in the spirit of full disclosure, I know one of the attorneys that works on this particular thing is my niece. I don't get any benefit from it. Mm-hmm. This is her area of expertise. She doesn't live with me. So I just want to make sure that people are clear so that the outside folks are like, yeah, that's Leslin's niece, and she voted on it. So I want to make sure that it's clear. I will vote for it to support Law New York, not necessarily to support my niece, unless somebody tells me I have to recuse myself.
Thank you for that, Kathy. The question?
Hi, Mike. Law New York does go through our process. We did vet the whole process, and Greg did come to me first when he said, look, this program is going away. We didn't ask for it because there was a joint project that was going for other funding that would fund this, and that fell through also. So Usually I don't always do that kind of offset, but I knew that the legislature was looking seriously into both ATI and reentry programs, and this is a program that we had seen in the past that really helped people who were coming out of jail be able to look at their records and do things that only lawyers can do for them. And so I said, I'll see what I can do. I went to both Joe and Anna and asked if this could be inserted kind of off the usual process. So,
can I go into the premise that this will, like, if this were to come up next year, you'll roll it in, and also that they're going to try to get that money back from whoever?
Absolutely. They would have to come back through the process next year, usual process.
Anna? There are other people ahead of you. Do you want to wait on that one? Go ahead, Martha.
So I saw in one of the emails that this also had to do specifically with evictions, and I will say that evictions cost us money. Evictions are a disastrous downward spiral, whether you're coming out of prison or jail or anybody. I also want to point out, this is in your from Kathy's presentation on our agencies. I love the graphs that John Mazzello put together, so you can easily see that in 2008, Law New York got $47,470 from us, $47,000, and their target funding this year is $40,000. So they've gone down by nearly 10% in 8 years. So I'm going to support this.
Who else had their hand up? Dan, Carol.
Yeah, I'm supportive too. My only question is, if they're already part of the Human Services Coalition's vetting process, and the reason they're in here now is because they came in too late on that process, shouldn't it be 1 year instead of multi-year?
That's what I was going to answer. Okay. The reason that I put it in for 2 years, and I talked to Kathy about this briefly, is because they did have these grant funding sources, and it's federal funding, and I would like to give them a chance to try and find other possible federal funding sources to replenish that. But that's why I put it in as 2 years, to give them that time, because we're already off. We're off season. We're off schedule for looking for and applying for those. So it would sort of be a year and a half. So that was my logic. And then if not, then I'm sure then it would probably be requested and proposed to be vetted through the Human Services.
I mean, because if we do it multi-year, then it comes to us next year separately from that. That separately from the rest of the request, and it just seems funny.
Well, it would depend. Yes, if it's requested through that mechanism, but if they are looking for federal funding, then it wouldn't come through that mechanism. So I just wanted to cover our bases, and because it will come back anyway for that second time, if they do decide to bring it through the Human Services Coalition and wrap it into their continued target, then we would turn that down. But I wanted to give them the flexibility of looking for the federal funding. I'm open to it, but that was my logic.
Carol, and then Leslie.
Well, so this, I was going to be asking how many years you wanted to do this for, Anna, but I think there's a flaw in this reasoning of only doing it for one time. In the current federal climate, the chances of money being made available for legal defense of people at the losing end, is not as likely as it might have been in other years, that this is just a one-year problem. And so maybe we should handle this by increasing the Human Services Coalition number somehow, so that they would have their usual amount at whatever increase available plus this for a longer period than 1 year. So I don't know that I support. Is there a mechanism, Kevin or Joe, to propose that? Because I'm not looking to necessarily increase forever the Human Services Coalition target by this amount. I would do that. I don't know if that could get – that's a different discussion.
Yeah, this is not the appropriate time to do that.
But I still would keep this at 2 years for now. And that would be my preference, or more, three. So, you know, it's regardless of whether, you know, somebody ultimately is determined to, you know, the landlord is justified in evicting somebody, they're entitled to a defense. And that's our whole legal system is premised on that people on both sides of an issue get an adequate representation.
Thank you, Loveland, and then Mike, and then Anna, and then Jim.
So frankly, Mr. Chair, I'd prefer to see this target, because the people who get this level of representation, it's not duplicated anywhere, like you said earlier. However, I am willing to support it at one time, but suggest, ask, cajole, strongly encourage Law New York to bring this in their budget next year as a target increase, because this is not going away. It's more than just dealing with evictions. It is dealing with a number of returning citizens who are trying to get certificates of relief so that they can get employment without the barriers of convictions that don't do anything that aren't related to what they're trying to get a job on, and to get those things sealed by the court so that they can get a job is extremely important as we try to help people reintegrate into community or returning citizens. So I think it's not going to go away. So I will support it at 1 year, but really encourage Kathy to talk with Law New York about adding this in as a target request for next year.
Mike and Anna, and then Jim, and then Rich.
We go through cycles, particularly with federal funding, where things get cut. And the first reaction I've noticed has always been turn to the county to replace the federal money. And I'm sorry, but our source of income is the real property tax. And I have a problem with our replacing cut money. And a lot of agencies have cuts in their money every year. And the Human Services Coalition has to look at all of that and try to balance things. And that's not an easy job. But I just a little troubled here with this cut in a program and now turning to the county to fund this and now talking about making it target. And some other things. So I'm having a problem with it.
Anna?
So I'm with Leslin and Mike simultaneously, which may seem counterintuitive. I don't want this program to ever go away. I think it's really important. I do see an issue. Once we take over a program that was supported federally, there can be the reaction of, well, now you clearly can handle it, so we're not taking it back. So the reason for making it a two-year was because I wanted to encourage them to continue to look for and put pressure on that federal possibility. And if that is not possible, then I'm in agreement with Leslin, then whatever we need to do to make it not go away. I just wanted to give a little bit of wiggle room so that they could fish and see if they could get that federal funding back. I understand the pressure. I understand, you know, that's the potential is iffy. But that seemed to be of interest to Greg. I know that they're still going to try and look for federal funding. And then we can reassess, making sure the commitment is there. I don't want this to go away.
I am not going to support this. I think it's an incredibly slippery slope if you start trying to fix Fed programs that go away. And the only thing I would encourage this group to go to Human Services and present to them next year and see how they do with all of it. Rich and then Leslin.
I would support this at a one time. I think it straddles a lot of different needs in our community. It's truly unfortunate what's happened with this AmeriCorps funding. I'm afraid that this is not the end of the federal government taking away funding in the current environment.
it's sort of an advertisement for the amendment we're going to see later on, number 29, to put some contingency funding just aside to mitigate risk. Looking at the federal, well, the administration's proposed budget, there seem to be cuts all down the line, and it will be the most natural thing in the world for our citizens here to look to us to help them, because the needs aren't going to go away. I hesitate to go longer than one time because I really want them to fight to get into some federal program, because the federal government should be helping. This is a partnership. But I would support it one time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for a second shot here. You know, Mike, I hear what you're saying, and it's not like we don't have precedents in doing this. We have had state cuts, we've had federal cuts, and we've had organizations that have come to us. You know, the folks that this program support, if we believe in our hearts what we're doing to help our citizens, are some of the people who are on the lowest end of the scale for everything. And so, you know, there is that sense of trying to help people get back on their feet. We just voted a whole bunch of money for ATI and everything that CJR suggested. This is another part of that. To be able to help people get jobs, deal with evictions because of issues of conviction or whatever it is huge. The rest of that stuff isn't going to matter if they're still struggling with this part of it. So, you know, that's how I see this. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I think we're ready to vote on this.
Remind us, what's the vote? What do we...
The vote is one time, 25-25.
Has that amendment was officially put forward?
No. I did not amend it.
I don't think anyone...
I didn't make an amendment.
That amendment hasn't been officially put forward. It's a multi-year right now.
Please use your microphone.
It's a multi-year, one time,
yeah,
two
right.
years. That's what we're voting
on.
Okay.
Rich?
I would move to amend to make it one time for 1 year.
Mike, second. Discussion? Mike Lane, second. It's one time for 1 year. Anna.
I just wanted Kathy's input on that, one versus the other. How you feel about that?
When I proposed this spot, I didn't ask for any specific because I knew it was outside the general terms of how this is done. I think that if it's 1 year, one time, that gives them time to look for other funding. If we can't find other funding, we can always come back and ask for it again. So I think that would be fine. I think they just want to keep it, not lose this person.
Great. Then I'm happy to support that.
So what we're looking at is one time, 1 year.
I would consider that friendly.
One time, 1 year, 25. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? Yours truly. Main motion is one time, 25, and, right?
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah, one time. One time, 25. The main motion now. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? And it is 11 to 2.
Thank you, everyone.
We are done, except for, hold it, Martha Robertson, 35 minutes talking about whatever.
So if I go for two, then that'll make everybody feel good. I just want
just
to
go for one time, okay?
Okay. I just want to explain a couple of handouts you've got on your desk. The Housing Capital Reserve Fund Draft 10-17, that's what was emailed to you, I guess, Sunday or so. Two pages explaining the Housing Capital Reserve Fund, the outline. I will say it's an outline, and I will say it's a draft. In addition, there's the Capital Reserve Fund, the program guidelines for the Fund for Natural, Scenic, and Recreational Resource Protection. In a sense, this is kind of a similar model. This is the program that we usually partner with a land trust, and we just approved two projects under this. So that's just provided, I think Carol provided that as a backup, as just a model for a capital reserve fund. And then this document, this is from Kit Kephart, our new DSS commissioner. Thank you, Kit. In talking about what the which program is this, temporary assistance? What somebody gets for temporary assistance? So if you're one person with no income, you get SNAP benefits. You get $194 a month for food. You get $400 a month for everything else. If you are two people in your household, you get $357 for SNAP for food, $542 for everything else. And you can see, so four, and then four people, it's $858 for everything. So try to figure how you're going to house anybody for those kinds of dollars. So, and then Kit's explanation here about how extremely low income housing is one of the needs. But I just wanted to let you know this is one of the things that it's on your desk because it backs up this request for the housing fund. Just as one piece of the need that this fund might address. So I just want to let you know. And please take a look at the summary. I'm really happy to talk to anybody about it in the next couple of days before Thanksgiving, because I understand totally that people have questions. So thank you very much.
We are done. Thank you very much.